This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Leader of the Islamic Revolution strongly condemns the desecration of the Holy Quran, saying arrogant powers' attacks are aimed at Islam itself. Russia decries UNESCO's decision on Ukrainian city of Odessa as politically motivated, saying it violated the world body's own standard procedures. And Spain opens a terror probe after man wielding a bladed weapon attacks two churches in a southern port city, killing one and wounding several others. Hello everyone, thanks for tuning in to World News. And now, leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has strongly condemned the desecration of the Holy Quran under the slogan of freedom of speech. Leader said the insane desecration of the Quran shows arrogant powers, attacks are aimed at Islam itself and the Quran. Ayatollah Khamenei added, the Quran is shining more brightly every day and the future belongs to Islam despite arrogant powers' plots. Now, he also called on the world's freedom seekers to stand by Muslims in confronting wicked plots of insulting sanctities and spreading hate. Leader's remarks came after notorious Swedish-Danish extremist Rasmus Paludan was allowed by Swedish government to burn Islam's holy book in front of the Turkish embassy in Stockholm. Paludan was protected by Swedish police while committing the sacrilege, which has opened the floodgates now of protests in the Muslim world. And we discuss the issue of the West's insults against Islam under the pretext of freedom of speech with writer and analyst Saeed Shahabi.
Of course, the double standards always are characteristics of those policies of those countries. Unfortunately, to burn somebody's holy book, any book, the book of Muslims, the Holy Quran, or the Bible, or the Torah, or any other book that is sacred to any nation, to any group of people, is just an incitement of hatred, incitement for violence. And that is against the fundamentals of modern statehood and modern society. About 2.1 billion Muslims, 2.1 billion Muslims in the world. Why on earth do we really look to infuriate them? What is there in the freedom of speech? So why is it only the Quran that is the being victimized and being burnt and being slandered? I think there is a lot to be done in the West, in NATO, in the EU, against this move.
Iran's foreign minister has strongly slammed the European Parliament's recent stance and measures against the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps as unconstructive. Hossein Amir Abdollahian made the remark in a phone call with his French counterpart, Catherine Colonna. He was referring to an amendment adopted by the European Parliament calling on the European Union to include the IRGC in its so-called terror list. Amir Abdollahian said the IRGC not only protects Iran's national security, but also has played an important role in the real fight against terrorism in the region. He added that Iran is carefully observing the European Union's behavior and will take appropriate measures in response. Amir Abdollahian said that Iran prefers talks and diplomacy in interactions with other countries, but will give an immediate and effective response to any intervention in its internal matters. Tehran blacklists dozens of individuals and entities in the European Union and the UK in retaliation for recent anti-Iran sanctions imposed by Brussels and London. Iran's foreign ministry says those blacklisted instigated terrorism against the Iranian nation, and they interfered in Islamic Republic's internal affairs, fanned violence and instability, and spread misinformation. According to the foreign ministry, the sanctioned individuals and entities are also involved in stepping up illegal restrictive measures against the Iranian people. Tehran had vowed to respond to the sanctions imposed by EU and UK. On Monday, Brussels and London, together with Washington, announced bans against dozens of Iranian individuals and entities over Tehran's response to recent riots. Author and journalist Robert Fantina says the EU is using human rights as a political tool against Iran.
The thing that was most striking about this whole situation with the EU increasing sanctions was talking about what they described as Iran's backsliding the human rights issue. Why do these countries then not sanction Israel, which has an atrocious human rights record? Why not Saudi Arabia? Why don't they sanction Saudi Arabia? Why are they picking Iran? It's simply because the government of Iran doesn't kowtow or toe the line of U.S. and Western demands. Because of that, these countries in the EU and the U.S. and so on they want to make Iran and the Iranians suffer. But this fantasy about punishing one country for human rights violations when it overlooks and even supports the human rights violations of other countries is complete hypocrisy.
Russia has decried a decision by UNESCO to add the historic center of the Ukrainian port city of Odessa to its World Heritage list. Moscow says the world body's decision is politically motivated and it violates its standard procedures. The Russian Foreign Ministry said the UNESCO's decision was prepared hastily, stressing just six countries voted in favor. Russia said the only threat that Odessa faced came from the nationalist regime in Ukraine. It accused Ukraine of destroying monuments in the area that it sought to protect. Reaction came after UNESCO's decision was approved by members with six votes in favor, one against, and 14 abstentions. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky had requested the listing back in October, claiming that it will protect the city from Russian bombardment. U.S. President Joe Biden says his country will provide Ukraine with Abrams battle tanks.
Today, I'm announcing that the United States will be sending 31 Abrams tanks to Ukraine, the equivalent of one Ukrainian battalion. Secretary Austin has recommended this step because it will enhance the Ukraine's capacity to defend its territory and achieve its strategic objectives. The Abrams tanks are the most capable tanks in the world. They're also extremely complex to operate and maintain. So we're also giving Ukraine the parts and equipment necessary to effectively sustain these tanks on the battlefield.
Biden said tanks were necessary to help Ukrainians improve their ability to maneuver in open terrain. Now, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky reacted to the announcement, saying, "Decision is an important step on the path to victory and the liberation of all of Ukraine." Moscow has denounced Washington's plan as blatant provocation. The U.S. was at first unwilling to do so, but it's believed to have changed tack to convince Germany to send its Leopard tanks to Kyiv. The U.S. has been on the front line of supplying arms to Kyiv and has pumped a slew of weapons and munitions into Ukraine worth billions of dollars. And German Chancellor Olaf Scholz has announced his country's decision to send the long-awaited Leopard 2 tanks to Ukraine to help it in its war against Russia.
We will also provide Ukraine with Leopard 2 main battle tanks. This is the result of intensive consultation, once again, with our allies and international partners.
Scholz also approved the re-export of third-generation tanks from partner countries. Addressing Parliament, the top official, however, cautioned Western states against further inflaming the conflict and having it escalate into a war between Russia and NATO. Meantime, Moscow has called the decision extremely dangerous, saying new delivery will take the conflict to a new level. Moscow says the move confirms Berlin's involvement in what it calls war planned in advance. The German defense minister, though, has rejected that claim.
The new decision deserves the respect of everyone who is concerned that this war will continue in this way and that we will possibly suffer more from it at some point than we would like today. But one thing is clear. We won't become a party to the war. We will make sure of that.
Pistorius added Germany is holding talks with its partners to send the tanks as soon as possible. Norway's also announced it'll send Leopard 2 tanks to Ukraine as part of the Western military aid. However, it did not specify how many tanks it'll send. Sweden, for its part, said that it does not exclude sending the Leopard 2 tanks. Stockholm, though, said it can help Ukraine in other ways which could be related to logistics, maintenance, or training.
In an article published on Responsible Statecraft, it is said that the U.S. role in Ukraine has slowly escalated since the beginning of the war there almost a year ago, saying the question now is how far Washington is willing to go. When the U.S. involves itself in a conflict, it often finds it difficult to get itself out. For instance, it happened in Vietnam. The U.S. military advisors helping the South Vietnamese fight Viet Cong forces eventually became U.S. soldiers fighting an American war. Or in Afghanistan, an initial invasion under the pretext of fighting Al-Qaeda terrorists morphed into 2 decades of war and destruction that resulted in the death of hundreds of thousands of Afghans. The same scenario could be unfolding in Ukraine. Less than a month into the Ukraine war, the US President Joe Biden stated that the US and NATO allies would not fight Russia in Ukraine. However, little by little, Washington and NATO are creeping closer to the catastrophic scenario Biden had described as World War III. Biden had also claimed the U.S. troops will not be sent to Ukraine to take part in the conflict. However, several current and former American intelligence officials told The Intercept back in October that there is a much larger presence of both CIA and U.S. special operations personnel in Ukraine than there was when the war began, saying they are conducting clandestine American operations in the country that are now far more extensive. An 8-year Army Special Operations veteran, who is now an investigative journalist, reported in December that among those covert operations is the CIA's work with an unnamed NATO allies spy agency to carry out sabotage operations within Russia. Reportedly, the cause of the unexplained explosions that have rocked Russian infrastructure throughout the war. Meanwhile, the United States and its NATO allies have serially blown past their own self-imposed lines over arms transfers. At the start of the war, analysts cautioned that the overt supply of even small arms and light weaponry risks encouraging a wider war and possible retaliation from Moscow, while U.S. officials ruled out more advanced weaponry as too escalatory. It took less than 2 months for the Biden administration to start sending these more risky tranches of high-powered arms. By the end of May, it was sending advanced rocket systems. In addition, NATO arms transfers have now escalated well beyond what governments had worried just months ago could draw the alliance into direct war with Russia, with the US and European governments now sending armored vehicles and planning to send tanks.
The U.S. and Germany have announced plans to send their most advanced tanks to Ukraine, and this indicates a broad shift in the mood of Western countries, which has so far avoided sending the heavy weaponry to Kiev. Russia has repeatedly warned that West pseudo-support for Kiev will only escalate the conflict and increase people's suffering.
Russia has warned the United States against its planned delivery of Abrams tanks to Ukraine. Anatoly Antonov, Russia's ambassador to the United States, has described the move as a blatant provocation against Moscow. He accused Washington of purposefully trying to inflict a strategic defeat on Russia. The warning came before the U.S. announced the delivery of dozens of its main battle tanks to Ukraine. Two American officials have been quoted as saying that the timeline of any potential delivery remains unclear and could take months or even years. Washington has said previously that providing Abrams tanks to Ukraine is not feasible, citing difficulties in training and maintenance. Meanwhile, German Chancellor Olaf Scholz has decided to send Leopard 2 tanks to Ukraine and to allow other countries such as Poland to send the same tanks from their own stockpiles to Kyiv. Until now, Berlin had been hesitant to send the Leopards or to allow other nations that have them in their possession to transfer them to Kyiv, with reports early last week saying that Germany would agree to do so only if the U.S. provided its own tanks. The decision by the U.S. to send its Abrams seems to have provided the political cover that Berlin had been seeking. Ukrainian officials have said the tanks would be a game-changer on the battlefield. The country's president, Volodymyr Zelensky, has called for a large number of tanks to repel Russian attacks.
Today, by the way, there's a lot of talk about tanks, about modern tanks that we need, and about the way this shortfall can be filled. A lot of efforts, words, promises. But it is important not to lose sight of reality. It is not about 5 or 10 or 15 tanks. The need is larger.
Zelensky said that Ukraine's allies have the required number of tanks to strengthen the country's defense against Russia. Since the beginning of the war, Ukraine's allies have sent Kyiv tens of billions of dollars worth of weapons. Western countries have also imposed a slew of economic sanctions on Moscow. Now, by escalating their support for Ukraine's military, the US and NATO have created an incentive structure for Moscow to take a drastic, aggressive step to show the seriousness of its own red lines.
Overcrowded hospitals and medication shortages contribute to a growing health crisis across the European Union. Critics claim West's anti-Russia and anti-China policies are fueling the emergency situation. Jerome Hughes has your story out of Brussels.
Due to a surge in respiratory infections, hospital emergency departments in many EU countries are currently being overwhelmed. Hundreds of drugs to treat winter-related illnesses are unavailable in most of the bloc's 27 nations. The crisis has been raised in the European Parliament.
We debate again about shortage of different medicines, most notably antibiotics. This debate is the proof that the European Commission is not the solution, but the cause of many problems all across Europe.
EU inflation is very high because of energy sanctions against Russia. The production of drugs in the bloc has slumped because of rising manufacturing costs associated with inflation. China is a major supplier, but relations between Brussels and Beijing have deteriorated.
We are witnessing public health systems across the EU become overwhelmed and exhausted as a result of the recent surge of COVID-19, flu, and RSV patients.
Critics say as a result of following US foreign policy, EU leaders have created a new health crisis by jeopardizing global supply chains. A growing number of EU health workers are forced to stay at home after becoming ill themselves.
The workers in the field are not getting to work. They are perhaps at work and not being productive sufficiently or not contributing well. And that affects the economy at the same time.
Experts say standards in health services across the EU vary greatly. Statistics show a person in intensive care with COVID-19 in Luxembourg has a 65% chance of survival. In fellow EU nation Romania, it's just 25%. There are warnings the current health emergency could get even worse.
The COVID virus is still circulating within Europe, and I wanted to share with you that we're closely monitoring the situation in China and, of course, in the United States, where a new Omicron subvariant has appeared.
It was left to Russia to fly in emergency medical equipment to Italy when COVID-19 first struck Europe. It's the type of cooperation we are unlikely to see again anytime soon. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Thanks for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
This is IRIB English Radio. Website is www.parstoday.com/en.
in the limelight.
In the U.S., at least 7 people have been killed in a mass shooting incident at Half Moon Bay, California, the second California massacre in just 3 days. 11 people were killed in the first massacre on Saturday, 21st of January. We take a look at the U.S. media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The Los Angeles Times has covered the story and tells us more. At least 7 people were killed in 2 related shootings in the beachside community of Half Moon Bay on Monday, 23rd of January, an act of violence that comes just 2 days after 11 people were killed in another shooting in Monterey Park. The suspected shooter, a 67-year-old resident of the community, was arrested about 2 hours after the shootings, sitting in a parked car at a sheriff's substation. Deputies with the San Mateo County Sheriff's Office first found 4 victims shot to death in the 12,700 block of the Cabrillo Highway in an unincorporated area of the county just before 2:30 p.m. on Monday, 23rd of January. A 5th victim was also found in the area and taken to Stanford Medical Center with life-threatening injuries, the sheriff's office said in a statement to the Los Angeles Times. Minutes later, in a nearby area, deputies found 3 more victims dead of apparent gunshot wounds. The motive for the shootings is still unknown, sheriff's officials said in a statement. The suspected shooter was identified as Zhao Chun Li after he was spotted sitting in his car at the San Mateo County Sheriff's Office substation in Half Moon Bay, just south of San Francisco. Video from ABC 7 showed deputies taking a man to the ground in the parking lot. The man was wearing a white cap vest and red long-sleeve shirt underneath. Chun-Li was found at the substation at 4:40 p.m. local time. The weapon, believed to have been used in the shooting rampage, was also found inside his car. Half Moon Bay Mayor Deborah Penrose told the Los Angeles Times multiple people have been killed. I'm very sorry for the families of the victims, she said. Deborah Penrose said she had been told that at least some of the victims were workers at nearby farms. City officials were reaching out to non-profit organizations to provide help to the affected families, and more information will be provided later on. There is no ongoing threat to the community at this time, the sheriff's office said in a tweet. The shootings come just 2 days after 11 people were killed in a mass shooting incident in Monterey Park, shocking the community in one of the worst mass shooting incidents in Los Angeles County. On Twitter, California Governor Gavin Newsom noted he was in hospital meeting the victims of the Monterey Park shooting when he was notified about the massacre at Half Moon Bay. Tragedy upon tragedy, Gavin Newsom tweeted. President Joe Biden has also been briefed on the situation and has asked federal law enforcement officials to provide any needed assistance to local law enforcement, according to a statement from the White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre. The scourge of gun violence has sadly hit home, San Mateo County Supervisor Dave Pine said in a statement. We have not even had time to grieve those lost in the terrible shooting incident in Monterey Park. Gun violence must stop. The state of California has among the strictest gun laws in the United States, which we have strengthened through local action here. But more must be done. The status quo cannot be tolerated. The investigation into the Monterey Park mass shooting is focused on the gunman's previous interactions at 2 dance studios he targeted, and whether jealousy over a relationship was the motive behind the massacre, according to law enforcement sources. The sources stressed that the investigation was in its early stages, but detectives believe the 72-year-old Hu Can Tran frequented the clubs, the Star Ballroom Dance Studio in Monterey Park, and the Lai Lai Ballroom and Studio in Alhambra, and that the shooting might have been sparked by a personal dispute. Inside Hu Kantran's home in Hemet, investigators found a .308 caliber rifle, hundreds of rounds of ammunition, electronic devices, including cell phones and computers, and items that led law enforcement officials to suspect he was manufacturing firearm suppressors. Los Angeles County Sheriff Robert Luna said at a news conference on Monday, 23rd of January. The Wall Street Journal has also covered this story and tells us more. At least seven people were killed in two related shootings in California on Monday, 23rd of January, authorities said, just 2 days after a separate mass shooting incident in California killed 11 people. The related shootings on Monday occurred at a mushroom farm and a trucking company near Half Moon Bay, a coastal city south of San Francisco, according to the San Mateo County Sheriff's Office. Officials said a suspect was in custody and there was no ongoing threat to the community. Four victims were found dead on Monday afternoon along the Cabrillo Highway. Christina Corpus, sheriff of San Mateo County, said at a news conference on Monday evening. Another victim was sent to the Stanford Medical Center in a critical condition. Soon after, three more victims were found dead at a separate location in the area. A suspect, Zhao Chun Li, 67 years old and a resident of Half Moon Bay, was arrested on Monday evening, 23rd of January, after he was found in his car in the parking lot of a Half Moon Bay police station, authorities said. He was arrested without incident, and a weapon was also found in his car. The suspect, a farm worker, is believed to have acted alone, authorities said, adding that a motive for the shooting is currently unknown. President Biden was briefed on the latest California shooting incident by the Homeland Security Advisor, according to a tweet by Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary. Jean-Pierre said he has asked federal law enforcement to provide any necessary assistance to the local authorities. As more details become available, the president will be updated. Monday's shooting incidents come after a separate mass shooting in California over the weekend. A 72-year-old man carried out an attack at a dance ballroom in Monterey Park, California, where people were celebrating the Lunar New Year, the Chinese New Year. 11 people have died and the gunman took his own life. 9 others were injured. California Governor Gavin Newsom said he was at a hospital meeting with victims of the first massacre when he was briefed about Monday's shooting incident in Half Moon Bay. Tragedy upon tragedy, Governor Gavin Newsom wrote in a post on Twitter.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear ladies. Welcome to a new episode of your favorite program, in which we're talking about ladies, and the greatest of all these ladies is Fatimah az-Zahra salamullah alayha, whom we have been talking about for quite some sessions. It has been, sister. And here with me, I have Sister Zainab, of course. Welcome, sister, and salam alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be with you, Sister.
Of course, the pleasure is all mine.
So we actually have been talking about Fatima Zahra Salamullah Alayha's lifestyle, and then we reached to the point where she was put in a situation to pick the right husband, and then she picked Imam Ali Alayhi Salam, and we already talked about her criteria. The thing that is important is that marriage starts with a decision, and then it has to continue with so much of sacrifice and then understanding and then so much of maturity. How was her relationship with her husband, how she treated him, and the things that happened in between them?
When she chooses him, she gets engaged to him for 9 months. And in these 9 months, Prophet, peace be upon him, tries to make her healthy. That's very important. That's a message for all of us. Like, he tells her that since you're going to enter a married life, you got to be healthy, because a healthy mother can get healthy children. This engagement time is something that you get to know each other. But this,
and the most important time, because it's just like a research you're
doing. Because now you're going to select someone with whom you're going to spend entire life, and you don't have chances to come back from there.
Yeah, there's no coming back.
It's very, very hard, like, though. However, I'm trying to say that this never means that your engagement time should be for years and years, so that, like, now you get bored.
Don't take it that long away. Moderation, again.
The most important thing is her mehriya, which was only 480 dirham. What is mehriya? It's a security money given to a woman and in Islam, and women can go and search about that. 480 was not extremely less that time. 480 is not extreme amount of money. However, Imam Ali al-Islam goes and sells out one of his shields, and then he gets 400 dirham.
That he used for the wars.
Yeah, and he gets 400 dirham out of it, which again teaches men that you have to make sure that you pay this amount to
your wife.
Not like you come, and because I have been hearing from most of the women that, my husband says, since we are not going to get separated from each other, we are not divorcing each other, there's no
divorcing.
There's no talk of mehriya. So I don't know how to pay you. No, it's a right of women. They have to pay them. And Imam Ali al-Islam goes and prepares this before his marriage. He goes and, prepares this amount, gets ready this amount, and also...
So, we're talking about her marriage. Let's put it here and go for a short break. And after that, we are going to continue the rest.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back, dear ladies. You're listening to Muslim Lady, and we're talking about marriage, the marriage of Lady Fatima Salamullah Alayha with her husband Amir al-Mu'minin Alayhi Salam. We talked about the criteria of marriage. We talked about different stuff related to how to pick the right person. And then we came to this part when it is the ceremony. And in some cultures, it has got to do a lot with extravagance and is spending so much of money. And then we talked about mehriye, which is like a burden on so many men's shoulder. And we have to take it easier.
Yes, it's not like you don't have to ask for it at all.
Yeah, just
but at the same
easy.
Time,
because if you have picked the right person, then this amount is not going to count as a very important thing in your life.
It's a very, very unfortunate that many of the women out there, they take full right of mehriya and they demand so much and they take even so much. But at the same time, they don't want to abide by other rules of Islam. Mehriya is in Islam, you're taking it. But at the same time, when Islam is telling you to go for hijab and other things, now you don't want to accept it. It's very, very unfortunate that who takes some rules what they like, and forget other rules.
Well, actually, mehriya is supposed to be considered as a gift to women.
Yes.
So the right of a woman in here is to take it easy upon the man. And then the right of the man is to have it in mind that he's going to pay it to her.
Yeah. And also, I'm saying that if you are taking this right, you are demanding it, and you're taking this amount, also keep in mind there are other rules you have to abide the same way.
Exactly, yeah. You cannot say yes to some of the rules
and no to most
of the rules.
Yeah, do not abide by some of the rules of Islam that you like, and you don't abide by those that do not get into your mind. Since they do not get into your mind, that does not mean that you don't have to follow them.
Exactly.
You can research more, you can ponder more about the rules that are not getting into your mind, but that never means that you got to pick up some ones and that are in your favor.
Yeah.
And ignore all others.
To have two baskets on my favor and the other ones who are against me.
Exactly.
Then the ones that are against me are more technically, I would leave them aside and then I would go for the ones that are for my benefit. So now, at the very first step, we understood that she started a simple life. She didn't go for too much of mehriyeh, and she didn't have such a very
even her ceremony,
ostensible show of wedding.
No, even her wedding, it's reported that it was so simple.
So modest. Her wedding ceremony
exactly.
was so modest.
There was, and it's also reported that there was a difference between mahrams and non-mahrams. They were separated. There
yeah.
was no, because in today's cultures, we book halls where both are together, men are together. Obviously, you don't go into a wedding function as simple as you're at home. You just try
yeah.
put on all your stuff, whatever
exactly.
you have. Try to get into your best.
And we're talking to ladies, and they know how the
exactly.
wedding goes.
I should be going there, and everyone should be looking at me.
I should shine like a diamond.
You can do that, or try to separate.
This is the point.
Try to separate
yeah.
the functions. Like, even if society is not doing that, do that from yourself. Like, whatever the functions you carry out, separate men and women.
Yeah.
Because at least you have the right to be your best in the functions. I'm not against, like, not to be, do not do makeup in the functions, do not express yourself.
And
do
we
not...
shouldn't forget that this is how we have been suggested to do.
Yeah, and even if you are now in a mixed culture wherein it's not possible, then try to be as modest as possible.
Yeah,
make
so
it simple and best.
Yeah. So
do
if
not,
there is no way for separation of men and women in
yeah,
the function,
do not come up,
then,
do not make
yeah.
yourself like a person who would be picked up from the crowd.
Yeah, who would attract the attention of all the men, because then the consequences are not going to be for the benefit of each side.
Exactly. Family strength is very important.
Yeah, that's
your hijab
very important.
Can weaken the family strength of some other men. It's not the right of every third person to look at you.
Yeah.
Sometimes, not sometimes, it's like the person who is married, it's his wife's right that he looks at her. In our weddings, we have women like, they say to tailors, they say to designers, they say to the...
I want to compete the bride.
No. That's obviously...
That's the main idea.
Everyone should not look at bride, they should look at me.
Yeah.
Well, this is the most...
Wow. So horrible.
Yeah.
A vicious sort of thought. Because that is the special day for the bride. And then the others are just guests who are going to accompany her in this very beautiful day of her life.
Yeah.
So now we talked about the criteria of the person we're going to pick. And also we talked about the marriage function and how it should go.
How it should be going. Because now, if there was someone, because most of the people say, oh, I deserve a blasting, I deserve a bombastic function. If you deserve the most, the couple that deserved the most
glorious wedding,
exactly, was the couple of Imam Ali and Lady Zahra, salamu alayha. When they did it simple, when they put it simple, why can't you, why can't me?
Exactly. So try to make it as simple as you can. Then let's go for a short break and we'll be back to follow the rest. So, dear ladies, we're talking about weddings and marriage functions, which is actually every girl's dream, but we shouldn't react to it in a very magnified manner. So we should take it as simple as it could be. Then we should take care of every single thing. Specifically, the fact that this is going to be only one night, a happy night, that is supposed to be a modest day, not an ostensible show of whatever you have. Then keep it simple, and then notice that after this day, it's not going to be the end of your life. You know, you're going to have so much to do in future.
I would like to extend your point that you said, because most of the people come up with the excuse that, oh, come on, it's just one day. Oh, come on, it's just one night.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm a really good
person. We hear that a lot.
We hear that a lot. But just see, do you hear someone, the one who kills someone with a gun? Do you hear him?
I'm going to kill for only one day.
No. Do you hear him saying that I just clicked the trigger just for 3 seconds? Oh, come on. It was just 3 seconds.
So you actually should look outside the box. Do not be so small of a creature to think of it as just one day. And then this one day is going to give you the justification for all the wrong things that you do. That is going actually to affect your life, your future life. Because imagine a marriage, which is a contract between two persons, starting with too much of vicious, wrong behaviors, then what is going to be the result and outcome of this marriage?
Everything has consequences.
Everything has consequences. Exactly.
So it can be good, it could be bad. So it all depends on you, how you keep it. I'm saying the couple that deserved the most best marriage was this couple. And then when they put it simple, how can I say that, oh, I deserve one of the best marriages. I want a big function. I want everyone to be here. All right. If you have enough of money, you can make others get married. There's so many people dying to get married, but they don't have enough money. And you would again see the consequences. Well, we're talking about consequences. If you want to see the better consequences, if you have enough of money to do much big kind of function, big show, keep yours simple. And with the rest of the money, go and make some poor girl get married.
And this is what we have it in our religion.
Exactly.
If the rich people try to share with the poor people, then the society is not going to suffer from this large gap between the poor and the rich.
And Quran also says when we give you the blessing, Surah Fajr, verse 15, that when we give you a blessing, you kind of have this misunderstanding that, oh, Allah has done a favor on me and He loves me. It's ibtila. It's a test.
Yeah, it's a test.
Then he says in verse 16, then there are people whom I have tested by taking from them. I'm testing some by giving them, and I'm testing some by taking from them.
Yeah.
Because some of you, when I take from them, you say, oh, I'm the worst person on the earth. But both of you are in ibtila, in a state of test. So when you are in a state of test, maybe having enough money, your test is how you will get a poor person married. This is a test, and you can pass in this test in this beautiful way.
Yeah, that's very true. So let this be the gist of today's episode. We talked about the criteria of the person we're going to marry, and then we talked about the mehriye, and then we talked about the wedding function. Yes, and how it doesn't have to be so extravagant, and you don't have to spend so much of money on a night that is only a night, and it's not going to be the end of the world. Just take it easy. And thank you for listening to us. Until another session, may Allah protect you with His never-sleeping eyes. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
This is IRIB English Radio.
Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
The EU's foreign policy chief, Josep Borrell, has recently stated that gas prices have largely stabilized, but still remain well above the long-term average. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. According to RT, lingering problems in the EU energy sector can no longer be attributed to the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. The EU High Representative for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy, Josep Borrell, said in an interview with the Spanish newspaper El Diario, published recently. According to the diplomat, the bloc has managed to overcome its energy dependence on Russia. He stated, "We have, in a few months, abolished the energy dependence on Russia that we had been building up for years. We went through an extremely tense phase of rising prices, but they're back to pre-conflict levels." According to Borrell, the sharp peak, which energy prices reached in August last year, was largely caused by speculative tension in the markets. The tensions in the energy market can no longer be attributed to the war. It is a structural problem of the energy sector, and in particular, of the correlation between gas prices and electricity prices, he stated. European gas prices spiked last year to a historic high of 345 euros per megawatt hour on concerns over Russian gas flows, which used to make up nearly half of Europe's supply, but started to dwindle due to Ukraine-related sanctions and technical setbacks. This week, gas futures for February delivery at TTF Hub in the Netherlands were trading in the range of 60 to 70 euros per MWH, around the values registered prior to the start of Russia's military operation in Ukraine. But the futures were still much more expensive than the 10 to 25 euros per MWH range within which they were trading in 2017 to 2019 period. Market analysts say relatively low energy prices in the region are temporary, due to mild weather and unusually high storage levels, with capacity filled to just under 82%. Many also warn that the situation is likely to worsen in the coming month, when Europe will have to refill storage in preparation for the next heating season, with next to no Russian supplies and no viable alternative suppliers. Meanwhile, Tehran Times wrote in this regard, cracks has appeared among EU alliance regarding the crisis in Eastern Europe. Germany's refusal to transfer its advanced Leopard 2 tanks to Ukraine has been met with criticism by NATO members. Nearly a year into the Russia-Ukraine conflict, public divisions have appeared among the West over the support for Ukraine. The Ukrainian military has said it needs a few hundred of Western-made battle tanks. Berlin is under heavy pressure by the U.S. establishment to authorize the delivery of its most advanced tanks to Kiev. This is while Washington itself has refused to announce the delivery of its own U.S. Abrams tanks. German government officials have linked their country's own decision to send Leopard tanks, with Washington taking the lead first. In essence, Berlin has indicated it is waiting for Washington to make the first move. Germany's new defense minister Boris Pistorius says no decision had yet been made by his government. Pistorius argued there are good reasons for the delivery and there are good reasons against it. All the pros and cons have to be weighed very carefully, and that assessment is explicitly shared by many allies. Germany has also dismissed requests by its NATO allies, who have thousands of German-made tanks to send them to the war zone. Poland, which does have the Leopard 2 tanks in its possession, has suggested it might send them to Ukraine without seeking Berlin's approval. But analysts say this would complicate future military cooperation between the two sides. Ukraine has been calling on NATO and the European Union to supply it with more advanced weapons, despite Russia's warning that this would prolong the war, the suffering of Ukrainians, as well as representing a significantly new escalation. Moscow has also warned NATO that any shipments of advanced weapons will be viewed as a direct confrontation between Russia and NATO members. Berlin has so far dispatched military assistance to Kiev, but the delivery of these tanks would represent a new escalation that Russia has been warning about. If Germany sends its tanks first and nobody else does, this may be viewed by the Kremlin that Berlin is at war with Russia. It would also make Germany appear as a warmonger in this conflict. This is something that the German government wants to avoid, especially amid Russian warnings of an escalation if the battle tanks are dispatched. Vyacheslav Volodin, speaker of Duma, Russia's lower house of parliament, warned that the US and NATO support for Ukraine is leading the world to a terrible war. He added that arguments that the nuclear powers have not previously used weapons of mass destruction in local conflicts are untenable, because these states did not face a situation where there was a threat to the security of their citizens and the territorial integrity of the country. Ukrainian troops are already being trained on German soil, not by the German military advisors themselves, but rather by the US forces that are stationed in the country. This is while the German public has already been among the worst hit as a consequence of the war. The taps of the Nord Stream 1 pipeline that used to run directly from Russia to Germany before the war have already been mostly switched off as a result of Western sanctions on Moscow. The German government also does not want to send its tanks because of fears that the Kremlin will respond with further measures by cutting off future supplies of gas and oil. Before the conflict, Germany was heavily dependent on Russian gas following decades of cooperation between the two sides. Europe as a whole relied on Moscow for 40% of its gas needs. The ensuing fighting has seen an energy crisis in Europe that has spearheaded record inflation rates not seen in several decades. Christian Molling, the deputy director at the German Council on Foreign Relations, told news media outlets that carriers have been built on the narrative that Germany is a peace-loving nation. The public mood is shifting and possibly at a tipping point. But it would be very hard to be the leader that drove to make Germany a leading player in European security. Surveys suggest that the German public support for Ukraine is less than in other Western countries. Polls also indicate that Germans are split on the question of sending the German-made battle tanks to the war zone. Since the Second World War, Germany has tried to portray itself as having a position of not taking sides in any wars, but that clearly ended in February last year when the Russia-Ukraine crisis started. Critics say the German supply of chemical weapons to the former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein to use it in his war against Iran is another case in this point.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.